For Seth. Prologue. The Flip. One evening in July 2008, FBI Special Agent B.J. Kang sat hunched over a desk with headphones on, listening to a phone call. It was dark outside, and he hadn't eaten dinner. His stomach growled.
Raj, you better listen to me,
a woman said in a soft, breathy voice.
Please don't fuck me on this.
Yeah, a male voice said.
They're gonna guide down,
the woman said. Guide down, Kang knew, was a common Wall Street term that meant the company was planning to announce that its earnings were going to be lower than expected. Definitely bad news. The They was an $800 million internet company based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, called Akamai Technologies.
I just got a call from my guy. I played him like a finely tuned piano.
I'm shorted. You know that, right? The man said.
I want you to be on top,
the woman purred.
We need to be a team.
She wasn't talking about sex, at least not this time. This was about money.
Let's just play this thing. Just keep shorting every day.
Who was this woman? Kang thought to himself. She sounded cartoonishly conspiratorial. Kang listened and took notes. He was in the FBI's wire room, a windowless den housing 14 vintage Dell computers and an assortment of mismatched office furniture on the 24th floor of 26 Federal Plaza in Lower Manhattan, home of the Bureau's New York field office. Along one wall was a metal shelf loaded with granola bars, goldfish crackers, and Kit Kats, sustenance for the agents who spent hours there each day, monitoring live phone calls. Listening to the wires was generally considered a crappy job, but Kang didn't see it that way. He understood it as a matter of patience. If you put in the work, it eventually paid off. A few months earlier, on March 7th, a federal judge had handed Kang a gift, approving a wiretap application on the cell phone of a Wall Street titan named Raj Rajaratnam. Kang had been practically living in the wire room ever since, gathering evidence for a massive insider trading case. He wasn't in securities crime just to bust the seedy small-time frauds he'd been working on for the previous 2 years. He wanted to take down someone big, someone like Raj, a significant player in the financial world. The 50-year-old co-founder of the Galleon Group, a $7 billion hedge fund, Rajaratnam was one of the more high-profile traders on Wall Street. Partly this was due to his size. Raj was obese and flamboyant, a man of outsized appetites. He liked to eat, and he liked to spend money, flying 70 of his friends to Kenya for a birthday safari and paying $250,000 for a Super Bowl party on Star Island in Biscayne Bay. Raj cut a stark contrast to Kang, the disciplined child of Korean immigrants, who was built like a block of concrete with black buzz-cut hair. Where Rajaratnam lived to schmooze and trade and brag about his exceptional skill at every opportunity, Kang was a quiet, tireless worker who spoke only when absolutely necessary. Even his closest colleagues at the Bureau hardly knew anything about him. 6 days after that phone call, Kang watched as Akamai announced to the world that its next earnings release was going to be a disappointment. Its stock dropped from $31.25 to $23.34 overnight. Raj, who was short 875,000 shares, made over $5 million in a week. The woman who gave him the tip, a trader named Danielle Chiesi, made $2.5 million. Kang wanted to know where she had gotten such valuable intelligence about what Akamai was going to do, so he subpoenaed her phone records. He could see, looking over her call logs, that she had spoken to a senior executive at Akamai just before she passed the information on to Raj. You did it in such a classy way,